God's story, David and Goliath. So part of God's story is about the time David fought Goliath, and it begins like this. David was the youngest of 8 brothers. His job was being a shepherd, which meant he spent all day in a field watching sheep eat and roll around the grass. Meanwhile, some of his brothers were off with the Israeli army preparing for war against the Philistines. The Philistines were one of the toughest armies the people of Israel had to fight. So one day, David was taking food to his brothers because his dad asked him to. But when he got there, his brothers accused him of coming so he could watch the fight instead of the sheep. Since David knew in his heart he was just obeying his dad, he didn't mind being misunderstood. Anyway, while David was there, he saw a huge Philistine man, more than 9 feet tall, step onto the field between the two armies. He was wearing a thick helmet and armor and carrying huge weapons. His name was Goliath, and he was definitely used to being the winner. David found out that Goliath had been stepping onto the field like this every morning for the past 40 days and saying, "Give me a man and let us fight each other." But nobody from Israel was brave enough to fight him, even the king. Well, David didn't like that this giant was intimidating the Israelites. After all, they were God's special family. And because God was with the Israelites, they could have courage in any situation. So David, who wasn't even a soldier, told the king, "I'll fight against him." Now, the king thought David was too small, but he really wanted someone to fight Goliath. So he gave in. And David knew he wasn't strong enough to beat Goliath by himself, but he believed God would be with him. So he said, "The Lord will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." The king hoped David was right. He even had his own weapons and armor put on David, but they didn't fit him. David decided to go into battle in his regular clothes. That's how sure he was that God would help him. Anyway, David went to a nearby stream and chose 5 smooth stones to use with his slingshot. Then he walked onto the battlefield to meet the massive Goliath. When Goliath saw how wimpy David looked, he was furious. He thought he'd get to fight the Israelite's strongest warrior. He said to David,
"Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals."
David might have looked like a wimp, but he was actually really brave. In fact, he was so brave that when he was taking care of sheep, he fought off bears and lions. Because God helped him protect his sheep, David knew God would help him protect this special family. David said, "You come at me with a sword, but I come at you with the name of the Lord Almighty." He was explaining to Goliath that God was more powerful than anything. He also added that he would feed Goliath's flesh to the birds, which made the giant even more mad. Then David took a stone, put it in the slingshot, and slung it at Goliath. Goliath didn't even get a chance to swing a sword because the stone hit him right in the forehead and sunk in deep. He face-planted straight into the ground. Nobody could believe it. And when the Philistine army realized Goliath was dead, they started running away like a bunch of scaredy cats. The Israelites chased the Philistines, shouting loudly. They had won. God used David, who was just an average kid, to rescue his people. And that's the story of David and Goliath. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. David was a shepherd. He brought his brothers lunch. He saw Goliath. Goliath scared everybody. David wasn't scared. He knew God was stronger. David fought Goliath. He used one stone. God helped him kill Goliath. The Israelites won. God's people were saved. And that's a part of God's story.
That was kind of lame. Good morning. Thank you, Campbell. All right. Well, I just want to welcome everyone this morning, our kids, our teens, our grown-ups, everyone watching online. We're really excited to have a family service. Like Carrie had said before, we're an intergenerational church, and it's really cool to get to see all of the different age groups worshiping together. Before we dive in, I want to give a huge shout out to our Uncommon students. Last month, we started something where every single week a different squad, which is their groups, come in and they help serve in the elementary services, and they have been rocking it. And it's been really awesome to see them pour into the lives of our younger students and the students love it. They think it's incredible. That even the boys are like, whoa, we have cool people older than us who want to spend time with us. So if you see a teenager today, tell them thank you. They're loving on your kids, and I love it. But this morning, we're going to talk about the word fearless. Everyone say it together, fearless.
Fearless.
All right, and David, as you just saw in that video, is the perfect example of a young boy who is no-nonsense, on fire for God. And yet he had plenty to be afraid of. But he knew that God asked him to do something great, something big, and that because he asked him to do it, he would be with him every single step of the way. And so I have a question for you all this morning. I'm going to raise your hand. It's really easy. It's just like kids' church. How many of you are human? Like, right? You should all be raising your hand because we're not like weirdo cyborg aliens, right? Every single one of you are human. And if you're human, at some point in time in your life, no matter how old you are, there is something that you have been afraid of or are afraid of, right? Okay, some people, it's bugs. They're disgusting and they're nasty, right? As I was sitting there, I saw a spider coming down. He thinks bugs are awesome. We love you, Campbell. But some people do not like them, right? And some people, it's dogs. Some people, it's the dark. Sometimes, some people, it's being alone. Whatever it is, every single one of us have had something or have something that we are scared of. And this morning, I decided that I was going to let you take a look into the life of Jen, which after today, you're going to be like, she's crazy, her husband is a saint, but I am scared of chipmunks. And as ridiculous as that sounds, I actually had a traumatic life experience with a chipmunk that was so ravenous and so disgusting. It was chasing me, and unfortunately, without my knowledge, my experience was recorded. And so this morning, I thought I would show you the realness of me and how much this killer chipmunk traumatized my life. So check out this video.
Oh, no, you be a
teacher. He needs to go out. Here he is, right here. Come on.
Uh-uh. What are you going to do? Talk to you?
Did he come out?
No, he didn't come out.
He's not a dog. There he is. Come on, PG, PG.
So scared, the poor thing.
I know.
No, where is he going?
I don't know. I can't see him.
He's right there.
Okay. Ah, no, stop spiriting. Get him out of here.
You gotta go the other way. Go, 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 go. Did he come out?
No.
No, I saw him go in the... No, seriously, he looks bigger than he is.
He's not big. He's very small.
I don't care. I do not like the rodents. Get him out of here.
We're trying.
Little chipmunk. Chippy, 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 chippy.
Angel, he's gonna run up your legs.
There he is right there.
You can't go that way. No, you gotta go this way.
Go that way.
Do.
We're trying.
Well, open the door to get out.
He's way over here. He's not even gonna go that way. He wants to be this way.
I don't have my contacts in.
And the poor thing, he's so scared.
No. Why? Please.
And now he's going for the scenery.
He's gonna eat us, though.
Lunch.
He's in the scenery.
He's in the scenery.
He's over here now.
Where?
He's in these here. Oh, and who's the Einstein that put your things underneath here?
Yeah, they weren't listening. I said don't crunch my folding thing.
He's under these?
No.
He's under the, yep.
Angel?
No, he's by you, Frank.
You're going to have to arrange that.
I...
Where is it?
It's right there. There it is. Jenny, go open the door.
It's me. 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 It's me.
No.
Seriously, one of the worst days of my life. And it has been brought joy to so many people, which I'm glad. But it was so freaky. That thing had like fangs and it was coming at me. And later on in that week, we were at a camp for foster care kids called Royal Family, and we were doing the drama and the music for it. And during dinner, that sucker ran across my feet and I wigged out, freaked out a bunch of kids. And so after that, I'm like, I'm done. If I see them, I'm running over with my cart. Just kidding, kids. We love all God's creation. But chipmunks are not my thing. But there's a lot of different things that people can be afraid of. But guess what? God knew that we were going to struggle with fear. And he knew that in a world full of sin, that there'd be a lot of things that we could be afraid of. In fact, if you search in the Bible for the word fear, you'll see it listed over 300 times. Over and over and over again, the Bible talks about do not fear. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do." And I want you to do this like kids' church. You're going to repeat after me. Say, "For we are God's handiwork,
for we are God's handiwork,
created in Christ Jesus,
created in Christ Jesus, to do good works,
that he has prepared, in advance, for us to do." So what this verse is saying basically is that we are loved and that we are chosen by God and that we can do great things for him. So if we're loved and we're chosen by God and he has these great plans for us, do you think that he is going to leave us all on our own? No, right? He wants us to be fearless. What was that word?
Fearless.
All right, I'm going to have Miss Carrie, you're going to find me two volunteers. And you have to be willing to do whatever I need you to. So it's all good. That's right. You have to be fearless. We got Chester and Chester's grandpa. All right. Here we go. You lose your name after you have kids and grandkids, so it's Chester's grandpa. All right, come on over. You guys can stand right up front over here. And my two friends are going to represent two different types of people. Chester over here is going to represent someone who has Jesus in their life, who trusts Jesus, who gives them their struggles, their fears. They rely on him. Jesus is the center. And Chester's grandpa is going to represent someone who thinks that they can do it on their own, right? They don't need Jesus. They're going to try to carry everything on their own back. They don't need it. They can do it all. They're amazing, whatever, okay? Now, these two, you guys are in a boat. So let's see you sway like you're on a boat. That's right. And while they're on this boat, the waves start to pick up. So you start swaying a little bit more. And Chester, I know you can move those hips. There you go. All right. Swaying more and more. And a big storm comes, kind of like is happening today. And it goes cool. And they even start to get a little seasick, right? Yeah, but don't really barf. This isn't kids' church, okay? Now, let's pretend that while on this huge ship in this storm, there is a rock, and the boat hits the rock, and the ship starts to sink. Oh, no, what are you going to do, right? Well, Chester's grandpa, who thinks that he can do things on his own, jumps into the water and just starts swimming. Let's see you swim. And don't stop. That's right. He's going to keep on swimming. Keep on swimming. You still get go, right? Not very smart, right? Jumping out into a storm. And just keeps on swimming. Chester, however, is the person who relies on Jesus. So come on over here, Chester. Chester, before he jumps ship, he decides that he's going to protect himself. So he's going to come on over here, right up here, put on this inner tube. You're going to hold it. There you go. And he's going to make sure that he has a life vest, right? He's going to be totally geared up. And he wants to make sure he's double, triple protected. So he is going to put on these little strawberry things. Don't worry. It's all good. All right. You got it. He's got his floaties. Jesus is going to protect you, child. Okay. And he wants to make sure that if he goes under, he's got some water. Now, don't worry. I washed that with toilet water. So you're good. And then we got to get some goggles on because, you know, you want to protect the eyeballs, right? Look like a little frog. All right. And you keep swimming. All right. Just to add it, effect, he's got even more. Now, Chester here is completely protected. And when the storm keeps coming, because no matter what, the storm is still going to be there, Chester is protected because he's trusting in Jesus, right? Storms are still going to happen in our life. Bad things are going to happen. But Chester can just sit back and chill. Let's see you chill. He's chilling, right? Just chilling. While Grandpa over here is trying gonna do his own thing. But what's gonna happen eventually? When he's tired, he can just chill and rest in Jesus, right? But Chester's grandpa just keeps swimming. And when he gets tired, when the cold starts to set in, when his arms start hurting, because I'm guessing you don't do a lot of cardio like this, right? You keep going, keep going. And he gets exhausted and his mind starts to go, what's going to happen when he can no longer sustain himself, when he can no longer keep doing it on his own? What is he going to do? He's going to sink. That's right. All right. You guys can be seated. Thank you for your help. Beautiful boy. You got it? He's like, thanks for this. All right. Thanks, Chester. You got it? There's not accident liability, so be careful. All right. So our lives are a lot like this. And it's easy to see something like that and kind of laugh and be like, yeah, that person is kind of crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. Like, why would you want to jump into a river with no life jacket and with anything? But our lives are a lot like that. And there are always going to be storms and things that happen in our lives that aren't good. You know, there is sin in this world and bad things can still happen. You know, maybe you're picked on at school. Maybe your mom and dad are not together anymore, right? Maybe your family is going through some pretty hard stuff. Maybe you're worried about losing a job. Maybe you have lost a loved one or someone that you love is sick and they aren't getting better. Maybe you're worried about your future or things that may come into your life that you cannot control. But if we have Jesus in our lives and if we rely on him, then he will help get us through it. And the same thing can be said for things that he has planned for us, right? It can look scary. I mean, think about it. David went up against a mighty giant. He was just a little dude. It'd be like Chester going up against the biggest dude in our church. It's scary. But because David knew that God was with him, he was able to do it. The Bible also talks about a girl named Esther who faced death in order to save her people. Noah built a stinking ark in the middle of a desert. Scary stuff. But because they knew that it was what God had wanted them to do, they were able to be fearless, and it didn't seem as scary. I have a friend right now. There are tons of people who today are doing great things for God that seem scary. I just got back on Thursday morning from a mission trip to Vietnam, and my friend is over there as a missionary. She's 76 years old. She's a widow, and she is over there by herself, and she is reaching an entire generation of young Vietnamese people who are then reaching their own people. It's the coolest thing that I've ever seen. But her being over there is scary. Deciding to move across the world after her husband passed away because she knew that God called her to do it is scary, right? I have another student of mine at my last kids' church who's 10 years old and she started a Bible club in her school. 10 years old. That's scary stuff. Another good friend decided that they were going to start their journey in foster care. All of these things, if you sit and think about the what ifs and what can go wrong and what can happen, can seem really scary. But all of these people knew that God wanted them to do these things. And even though it seemed scary, they were fearless because they knew that they had Jesus with them. So something to think about. A lot of times we talk about stories in the Bible and it's like, oh, that's an awesome story. Now what? Like, kids, disclaimer, don't throw rocks at bullies. That's not what we're trying to tell you this morning. Don't literally take this. But what we can take from this story is that we can know Jesus is with us. But how do we apply that to our life? How do we know? How do we give Jesus our fears, give Jesus our anxiety? How do we stop from being afraid of things, right? How do we stop worrying about something that may come or that is something that God has planned for us in the future, right? How do we stop from being afraid of something that God is asking us to do, maybe to step up our game as people who love Jesus? Now, I'm going to need Carrie to come back up here. She's my fave volunteer today. Okay, so she's going to sit in this inner tube, nice front and center. And you got to trust me, right? I mean, after all, you hired me to, like, teach kids, so we're good, right? Okay, well, she's, like, looking at me like crazy. All right, well, she's sitting right here, and I'm going to say that this water right here represents fear. And I'm going to have you take a drink of it to show everyone how clean and it's normal water. It's great. That also came from the toilet, but it's filtered water, so it's great. But this is normal water, and let's say that this, like I said, represents our fear, our anxiety, our worries. And this cup is going to represent us, our life, okay? Let's say that we start to think about all the things that could go wrong in our life, things that we can't control, right? Maybe you need to ask a friend to go to church, but you're worried they may laugh at you. Fear, right? Maybe you feel like you need to be telling others about Jesus, which you should be, right? But you're worried about what they might say or think of you. Maybe you have seen someone or experienced someone being mistreated, but you are worried about standing up and saying something because of what others might think of you or might say to you. Fear, right? Maybe God is asking you to step up and do something amazing, but you're thinking of all the things that could go wrong. Going on a mission trip, worrying that you may fail, asking people to come alongside of you and to experience the greatness of God and worrying like, I'm going to look like an idiot, right? I'm going to look like a weirdo. Whatever it is, fear begins to creep in our life and anxiety. But here's the thing. With Jesus, when we let our fear creep into our lives, how much do you trust me? How much do you trust Jesus, right? When we let that fear creep in, we can ask him to take that from us. And you know what happens? That fear disappears. And that anxiety is gone. It can be given to him. Good job, Carrie. All right. That's right. Jesus is with us every step of the way. Now, I want you to hear my heart on something. It is not my heart or my intent to ever say that, you know what? You don't ever need any type of medication if you are struggling with mental health issues or anxiety and worry is a part of your life. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that if you are relying on that alone and Jesus is not a part of your equation, then it's the same as you doing it on your own. And so we need Jesus. All we have to do is we have to be brave enough to help him to ask. Brave enough to ask him to help us, right? And then that disappears. It says in the Bible, Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Right there in God's word, it tells us that we can be fearless. And when we have Jesus and we understand that we are loved and that we are chosen and that he has a plan for us, then we can also be fearless. Now, and if you felt this way, if you struggle with anxiety or worry or fear and your mind just goes, right? You are not alone. You see, because this is something that I daily struggle with. It's something that I, for a long time, tried to hide and act like I was perfect and everything was okay on the outside. But every single day, I was being gripped by fear and anxiety, and I was struggling with it. You see, this same time a year ago, this exact same week, my oldest son, Hunter, who's 16, he was put in the hospital. He was admitted because he was sick. And to make a long story short, when he was born, his kidneys failed. And when he was one, they failed completely, and we had to do dialysis for 6 months until he was big enough for a kidney transplant. And when he was 18 months old, he was big enough, and I was blessed to be a match, and he got my kidney. Well, as you can imagine, there's a lot of ups and downs in that. If you're a parent, like the thought of not knowing if your child was going to come home in your arms or in the arms of Jesus, your life is like constantly like this. And we've had some pretty smooth sailing the past 5 or 6 years. No hospitalizations, no sickness. Everything was looking great until last year. And when he was admitted into the hospital, it triggered inside of me all of those fears and those worries and anxieties that I had when he was born and when he was going through all of this. And I began to think about the what ifs. What if he goes into rejection? What if as he's coming into adulthood, he doesn't take his medication? And if he doesn't take his medication, it's not like an allergy thing. His kidney will reject, and then he'll have to have another transplant. And what if that doesn't work? And I just started to spiral down this thinking, and the anxiety and the fear began to grip my life. And I was living in this daily. I was swimming with no life raft. I was trying to do it on my own. I had gone through the motions, but I was not surrendering that fear and anxiety to Jesus. I was surrendering every single thing in every other area of my life except this one thing because I couldn't. I felt like I couldn't. I felt like if I did that, it would be opening up vulnerability, and it just, my mind, I couldn't do it. And so I could not continue to live like that anymore. It was affecting every area of my life, my friendships, my marriage, my relationships, everything. It was affecting because it was gripping me. I couldn't even make a phone call to a doctor because I was just worried about like what I was going to hear. It became paralyzing. But one day I just decided I could not live like that anymore. I couldn't continue to live in that fear and anxiety. And so I began to surrender it to him by speaking out his words, by reading his words, by spending time in his presence, and living out his truths and his promises, because I want to live fearless. And so we're going to end this morning as the worship team comes up, and we're going to close out with this song. And this song talks about how we are no longer slaves to fear, and that we're children of God, and that he is here with us no matter what. And this morning, if you are struggling with worrying about things in your life, storms that may be happening or that may come, then I want you to give them to Jesus. I want to encourage you to, as you're singing this song, to give it to him. And some of you, maybe things are going great in your life. This is not, you know, you're not really, you're just chilling. You're floating in a boat. I don't know. But you feel like God may be asking you to do something bigger than you're already doing. Something for him. He is calling you to step up your game as a Christian, as someone who loves and follows Jesus. But you're scared, right? And it's okay to be scared. You saw me in the gym. I survived. Barely, right? But we need to trust in him and give it to him daily. We can't be like the person who's trying to do it on our own because you sink. You need to be the one who gives it to him so that when you're in your weakest moment, when you're tired, when you're thinking about the what ifs, the things that may happen, you can relax and give it to him and he can take it from you. Don't live a life of fear and anxiety. Do not let it control and grip you. Just give it to him. And so no matter what age you are, whether you're 5, you're 15, or you're 95, which if you are 95, I want to talk to you because you got some great secrets. But it doesn't matter what age you are. We all have fears. We all have worries and struggles. And so let the words of this song be your declaration this morning that you are going to live fearless.
Let's all stand and sing this. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sing it again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.